From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hi, this is Gene Triplett, entertainment editor for The Oklahoman and NewsOK.com, here to talk about the movies opening this weekend in the Oklahoma City market. And, of course, the big opener this weekend is the 2009 reinvention of Fame. That's what the publicity is calling it. But, well, let's face it, it's a remake. The new take on the terrific 1980 version about students at New York's High School of Performing Arts doesn't quite flunk out exactly, but it never earns better than a C, according to Robert Butler of the Kansas City Star. We didn't catch the screening here in Oklahoma City, so I'm just going to give you a rundown on what he had to say about the film. He said it's a shame because the first 20 minutes of Kevin Tancheron's remake suggest it could have been as good as the original. Allison Burnett's screenplay borrows the structure of the earlier film. It starts with audition day with middle schoolers from all over New York showing up to strut their stuff, music, dance, and acting, in hopes of getting one of the only 200 slots in the freshman class. The scenes, Butler says, are fast-paced, funny, tuneful, and jammed with youthful enthusiasm, generating excitement as various threads from around the school are woven together. But as Fame progresses and we follow these students across 4 years of education, the movie loses focus and steam. Characters are alarmingly underdeveloped, and a screenplay delivers mostly banal after-school special situations. Worse, there isn't a show-stopping musical number in the whole film, according to Butler. The closest this version comes to a knockout is an early impromptu song and dance session in the school lunchroom. Mostly, Tancheron gives us snippets. This is Fame for short attention spans, he says. And incredibly, there's not even a decent reprise of that superb Oscar-winning song, Fame, done so well by Irene Cara, all these many years ago. The young faces are attractive, but mostly empty, Butler says. Kay Pennebaker is a timid actress wannabe who slowly blossoms. Walter Perez is a compositional whiz who resents having to stick to box notations. And Paul Iacono as an aspiring filmmaker, Carrington Payne also as the class's best dancer, and Collins Penny as an angry actor / rapper. None of these seem to impress Butler whatsoever. He says they're all bland and or underwhelming. The only one likely to actually achieve fame is Naturi Naughton as a classical pianist who wants to break free from her smothering parents and become a hip-hop vocalist. She comes off as a Jennifer Hudson in waiting. Overall, Butler gives it 2 stars. So take that for what it's worth. And moving on, there's a film opening in the Oklahoma City market. It has already opened elsewhere. It's finally reaching us. It's directed by Davis Guggenheim, who also directed Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth. Here he turns to rock and roll in a summit meeting with three of the baddest guitar slingers in the Western world. That would be Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page, U2's The Edge, and Jack Black of White Stripes and the Raconteurs. When the smoke clears, there's no clear winner here, except maybe the audience that would be most appreciative. That would be aspiring young guitar dudes who will line up to lap up the technical inside baseball and tricks of the trade shared by three generations of rock royalty here. Or the diehard fans of these heroes, hoping for a jolting, one-time-only supergroup fix. That's the audience that stands to gain most, the most satisfaction from this rock documentary. But the average music fan might be a little bit disappointed that a film with Jimmy Page, The Edge, and Jack White contains so much talk and so little axe-wielding action in all of its sometimes slow-moving 97 minutes. Teasingly and frustratingly, brief moments of performance footage are interwoven with voiceovers of the individual artists as they're seen fiddling with knobs and switches in the studio or visiting old haunts from their early band days. However, the fact that the three musicians are very divergent personalities who approach their art from very different directions does make for some interesting conversation at times. For example, The Edge talks about how he's interested in what hardware can do to the electric guitar sound. He says he loves effects units. While a cocky and tough-talking White says that technology is a big destroyer of emotion and truth. It doesn't really do anything for creativity. It makes it easier for you to get home sooner, he says, but it doesn't make you a more creative person. And meanwhile, the more down-to-earth and no-nonsense page says, dynamics, light and shade, whisper to the thunder, sort of invite you in, sort of intoxicate you. It's there's fascinating archival footage of the guitarist's early performances, which are pretty interesting, including an early TV appearance by a young, big-haired U2 from the late 70s, and Page, age 13, appearing on a talent show in England in 1957 as a member of a skiffle group. There's a short jam on U2's I Will Follow among the three, without vocals, that never quite gels. A good shot at White Stripes' Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground, based on White's Sun House influences, and a razor-sharp reworking of Zeppelin's In My Time of Dying that stands out as the lengthiest and most inspired improvisational fling in the entire film. The Edge and White watch transfixed as Page does a run-through of his guitar lines from A Whole Lot of Love and the gray-haired granddaddy of session men. Also amazes the younger guys with stories such as the one about the session he did during the recording of the Goldfinger theme in 1964 when he watched Shirley Bassey collapse after the one and only take that was done of the song. He proves to be the most interesting of the three, both artistically and as an individual. Through it all, the three men share vague bits and pieces of their different creative philosophies and processes, finally leading up to a rough-hewn acoustic treatment of the band's The Weight with White on lead vocals. There are no sky-opening flashes of revelation about the magic of making music that rocks millions of people, but It Might Get Loud does have its entertaining moments for general audiences, and it's a must-see for music geeks. As far as the rest of the week goes, Surrogates from Walt Disney, starring Bruce Willis, is set in a futuristic world where humans live in isolation and interact with through surrogate robots. And Willis plays a cop who's forced to leave his home for the first time in years in order to investigate cases of surrogate murder. That was not screened for us here in Oklahoma City, which doesn't bode well for that one. Then we have Pandorum, which stars Dennis Quaid, Ben Foster, and Cam Giganet in a sci-fi story about a pair of crew members aboard a spaceship who wake up with no knowledge of their mission or their identities. That's another one that remains to be seen how many stars that might get. And that's it for movies opening this weekend in the Oklahoma City market. Appreciate your listening in, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.